Send me back all the things she ever wrote. Tell me secrets of her days when she was young. Show me nights when she laughed so innocent. I'll be happy waiting till they come. Love the people that she smiled upon. Walk with me on the streets where she once stood. Say if it could be that we once passed like strangers, long before the love we ever knew. I've been longing for a new world waiting. I've been hoping to be sent. I've been picking up all the love we squandered till you hold me in your swinging arms again. One day I can see us walking arm in arm in sheltered Kelvin Way, talking and tripping and teasing, heading for the best part of the day. When your head will fall softly on our pillow, no fear will make you cry or turn you red. We will wake so early in the morning, knowing you'll never, never go away. I've been longing for a new world waiting. I've been hoping to be sent. I've been picking up all the love we squandered to get home in your swaying arms again. I've been longing for a new world waiting. I've been hoping to be sent. I've been picking up all the love we squandered to you home in your swaying arms again. To you rest me in your loving arms again. Gotta hold me now. Gotta hold me now. You've gotta hold me now. You gotta hold me now.
It's Ricky Ross from his album Short Stories, Volume 2. Of course, you know his voice. You're going, yes, I know that voice from Deacon Blue. Well, you know his voice now from BBC Radio Devon because he's with us now. Ricky Ross, welcome. I was going to say welcome to Devon, but you're no stranger. You've played it not that long ago in Plymouth.
That's true. Yeah, just before Christmas, on a very adventurous day that we are, our management, tour manager, booked us into a hotel that was up in the hills. outside Plymouth, and our bus got stuck going up to this rather nice hotel. But yeah, we managed to get to the gig eventually and had a really good night.
oh, you paint a picture of a bit like the Blues Brothers, you know. We got 30 miles to Plymouth. We got a... Oh, wonderful. Now, so you've got this new album coming out, Short Stories Volume 2. Of course, we know all of your work via Deacon Blue. Do you know, looking back through, it kind of scared me to think you've been doing solo projects since the mid-80s as well.
Well, in some ways, yeah. I mean, before Deacon Blue, obviously, I was just working on my own. So I did a little album on my own, which really got me started. It was a little tape cassette album, which really was pretty obscure. But that was what got me started, and in fact, sort of propelled me into getting my first publishing deal before Deacon Blue really got together. And when we'd done our first stint, which we finished in 1994, I went on my own and obviously did solo record and a number of solo records, and then made this a volume of this album 5 years ago, Short Stories One. And it's always these last two records have really been almost kind of tied in with what the kind of show I do live, which is just me and a piano and some stories and some songs.
Which is, do you know what? It's the kind of gig which is more memorable, isn't it? Because it's not just going and watching a performance of the latest album or the greatest hits performances. That's where we get to know you as a performer and what drives you.
Yeah, I think so. And to be honest with you, sometimes in the context of a bigger gig, sometimes people say to me, can you do a mention? So you talk about this. There's such an energy about a Deacon Blue show. It's surprising that how little chance there is to have an extended conversation. It takes away from the energy and so on. It's a completely different thing in a solo show, and people want that intimacy. Sometimes they want you to kind of reveal more about where the song came from and what's behind it, and that's kind of what people are buying into. And I guess the kind of people that come to the show kind of know that, which is good. But I sometimes think, even though there's no spectacular, there's no great big light show, it doesn't really, you know, take off in the way a band gig does, but I sometimes think there can be really magical moments within these little evenings.
Oh, I think so. I mean, just, you know, one spotlight, you, piano, some great songs. I mean, it's kind of emotional, isn't it? Because listening through to this album, which I've been doing, you kind of feel, and I said to you just before we came on air, that it feels a bit like a musical autobiography. There's a real sense, it's not that, I mean, I know you write for a lot of other people, but there's no sense that someone else has written this. This has come from the heart.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I think that, oddly enough, there's things on it that I hadn't written about before, and some of that is intergenerational. And there's a song on it which I wrote really for my mother, and I think she was probably, although this album was written more than a couple of years ago now because of lockdown, it's taken longer, but she was dying at that time. My mother died actually in 2020, but I knew effectively she was going, and it was just really about that whole business of being just getting old and not being able to do the things that you're able to do. And it's a song called All Dressed Up. And then there's a song also which is, you know, about the other side of things, which is the album kind of opens with a song which is near the start of the album is a song about going camping with my son a few years ago and his reluctance to climb a hill and eventually doing it and then saying, oh, that was brilliant. You know, that way when you kind of have these lovely moments with your kids when things just come together. So there's and it kind of ends up with him going on a train and leaving home for the first time. So it there's all that sort of going on in that record.
But then that's the difference, isn't it? I describe that almost as kind of grown-up music because you're actually telling the stories. Those are the bits which are you and which are life, which, you know, there's disposable pop, isn't there? Which, I mean, I love it. I mean, I really do. But there's also times when you need to reflect.
Yeah, there are. And I've always seen solo albums as being the place, you know, you have to find a place where you can put songs like that. If you're a songwriter, you will write songs like these. And sometimes they don't really work as Deacon Blue songs, but it's always been a place where I did it. And about, I don't know, it's getting on for 15 years ago, maybe, I did an album called Pale Rider. And one of the first gigs I did at that time was for a friend in the prison. And it was, we only did, the gig we did was just, again, it was just conversation songs. And it was for the He said, I'm just going to invite the lifers along. They had to select which group of prisoners. So it'll be the guy, the life prisoners. So these guys, they've got a story to tell as well. And obviously, they're not there for no reason at all. They've done some serious damage in their lives to themselves and to other people. It was interesting that, you know, when I played these songs in that album, again, reflecting a lot on family and just stuff like that, they were the best audience I'd ever had. They got it because they were missing all these things. These are the things that they were denied, you know, when they were doing their time. So I think there's always an audience. There's always the right, people want, I suppose, that detail and that intimacy and the sense that they're kind of eavesdropping on something special.
Now, you recorded this album at home, didn't you? Do you think that helped in terms of, because there wasn't the pressure? You know, if you've got commercial studio time and you're paying for it and all the people, but at home you could just chill out.
Yeah, well, it was really there wasn't really any choice. And what happened was I was writing the songs and we were in lockdown, so we couldn't go anywhere. And I thought I would want to get them done. I just kind of fell in love with this piano. So I have a real piano, a really nice piano in the house. But I also have this sort of my little studio and a sound of the piano sound on my digital thing that through my own studio I really liked. And I started recording the song just as soon as I'd written them, just putting them down. It was actually right near the start of lockdown. I'd had COVID. Lorraine, my wife, had COVID, and she was basically shielding upstairs for as long as she was infectious, obviously. And it was really quiet. And I would late at night just put down these versions of the songs. And then maybe check them out in the morning and see if they were, you know, still as good as I thought they were the night before. And sometimes they weren't. And you just do it again, you know, you just do it again until you got it right. But you didn't have, you're right, you didn't have that sense of which of your producers waiting for you to finish off or a recording engineer or something like that. It happened quickly. I did it quickly. Because once you start a project like that, you've just got to keep moving with it. But it was all done in my own time and just in that little isolation. And so many people were kind of isolated that time. So it felt like, you know, it just felt, I don't know, really kind of special, I suppose, to know that everyone else was locked away in their own spaces.
So when you've done that, so you've got these projects which are intensely personal, the next phase is obviously to take that on the road and to play it to everybody else. Is there almost a sense of like, this is mine, I'm not letting it go, but I've got to because I have a mortgage to pay?
Well, I think, to be honest with you, anyone will tell you that as soon as you've written a song, I mean, the only logical thing is you've got to let people hear it, and you've got to let one person hear it, two people, whatever it is. Usually when you write a song, if you're like me, you're in a band, you go in and play it, or you demo it, and you let your bandmates hear it, or they get involved in it very early on, which is often the tough audience, actually, because it sometimes doesn't get past that stage. But I think there's always a desire to play it. I think the whole reason about writing a song is to share it with people. Is to say, look, this is a story, and I want to tell you, and get some feedback on it. So I think that, I think early on, in any songwriting experience, you're always imagining what it's going to be like to perform that song in front of an audience.
So you're on the road then. It's September and October this year, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm on the road with the album, and of course, I'm also bringing out a book called Walking Back Home, which is a memoir. So I'm going to be doing a lot of that stuff. Is going to be songs that are relating to stories that are stories of my life as well. So hopefully, both things are kind of being talked and sung at the gigs.
So after that, what's the next project then? Is there going to be a volume 3? Are you doing another album with Deacon Blue? Where do we go from there?
I don't know. It's been busy. You know, we had a Deacon Blue tour and we're still doing Deacon Blue shows and so on. I'm trying not to think beyond that. I've got so many things that I have got projects in the pipeline that are just writing things that are still going to come out. But I'm trying not to get too far ahead. And we're really enjoying Deacon Blue stuff. So we're still planning Deacon Blue. We're still hoping to do stuff. Still like being creative. And I certainly wouldn't count against doing it unless it goes terribly wrong. I wouldn't count against doing another solo thing. But I'm kind of just been so busy with finishing the book and getting the album ready to go out. And not least also rehearse all the songs up and get the show together. That I haven't really thought much beyond that.
I don't know how many, some people fit this in, because whenever I talk, you know, you've got an album, you've got a book, you've got a radio program, you're winning awards for this, you've got a family as well. There are more. I reckon the more famous you get, the more hours are allocated to your day.
Well, you know, the thing is, we are in the lucky position of people who, we're musicians, you know. I was telling someone else this today, I remember meeting the great Billy McNeil, the great Celtic captain, who captained Celtic winning the European Cup. I met him in a prison in Glasgow one time. We were doing something. I'm not always in prison.
I was going to say, it sounds like you're a regular visitor.
Too many
yeah.
prison stories there, yeah. But this, he was a lovely guy, and he said, I said, you still work? This is like ages ago. And I said, are you still working, Billy? And he said, Ricky, I've never worked. And I just thought, you know, this is a guy that's played football, managed football teams, and he knows that he's lucky. And I think that's true of us. You know, we're musicians, we're in the lucky position of doing what we want to do. And there's bits, you know, there's bits of it like anyone else that are footery and fidgety, and maybe we'd do less sitting around airports if we could. But, you know, there's so much stuff that we get to do that's really not work at all.
There you go. It's all right, isn't it? Right, Ricky, well, listen, best of luck with the album and with the tour as well. I noticed that Plymouth's not on the tour
list
this time.
I know, it's yeah. terrible, isn't it? But, you know, we need to get down. And it's such a beautiful part of the world. I wish it was, because I'd love to be down there in the southwest of England. It's lovely. But we'll get down there hopefully at some point.
Well, listen, next time you're down, we'll get a piano in and a spotlight, and you can come in and play for us live.
I love that. Thank you so much, Rick. Thanks for having me.
You're more than welcome. Ricky Ross there. Check out his album, Short Stories, Volume 2, and the book as well. And you can catch him, well, you can catch him in some places, but not Plymouth, or anywhere in Devon later this year.